720 WGN. I'm John Landecker. Why in the world would you use this little montage, if you will, to bring on Lorraine Newman? Well, we'll find out. Lorraine, good evening. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you, John. I can't believe you played that Buddy Miles song. That was so great to hear.
Well, I think, I don't know if you could hear it coming down the line, but there was also a little Armis Brooks.
I heard all of it. It was great. Okay. Thank you so much.
Well, you're very welcome. By the way, I love the audiobook. I mean,
thank you.
I love it.
And I don't mean, thank you so much.
I don't mean John love it. I mean, I really love it. And I want to express my condolences about Ann Beats, because you talked about her in the book, and she recently passed, and wanted to pass along my condolences.
Thank you so much.
Sure. You know, Chicago and Second City has had for years a relationship with Saturday Night Live, and back when all of you got together, people who had been on the Second City stage were part of that original cast. And then I think that sort of that pipeline has sort of been open and closed over the years. And I have to tell you, I've stayed with Saturday Night Live all the way through. I've heard from other people who say, oh, well, this season it's not this, or this season it's not that. I've stuck with it. I think it's a fabulous idea, and I think, you know, people don't realize exactly how hard it is to pull all that stuff together each week. And
I agree, and I've stayed with it, too, because I love sketch comedy, and I think that each year, each season, each cast, each set of writers, you know, they always pick people that are at the top of their game, that are, you know, not only supremely talented, but uniquely talented, and represent their own generation. And that's why I believe that it has stayed relevant all these years, because it's kept up with its audience.
And it, back in the day, God, I hate that expression, but I can't stand it, but I just used it. The political satire of Saturday Night Live, I think, was one of the key things to its initial success. I mean, there were a lot of things going for it, but, you know, the whole Weekend Update and the other parodies of presidential and other political figures has been a part of the format throughout the entire run, I believe.
Yeah, I can't. Someone was commenting on that the other day, that Updated is exactly the same.
Yes.
And it is, but it's still wonderful. And I love that, you know, we would have, you know, Gilda come on as Emily Latella and Roseanne Zanadana, and, you know, Garrett as Chico Suela. And, you know, today we just, you know, we had Drunk Uncle and you name it.
It just keeps going.
So many fabulous characters that come out. I mean, I don't know if you saw this past Saturday show with Bowen Yang doing the iceberg.
Oh, my God. It's the Titanic iceberg.
Hit.
Fantastic bit. That was one of the funniest things I've seen in ages. I felt that he is talented, and I was just sort of waiting to see what might be his breakthrough bit, and I think that was it. That guy's was fantastic.
He's so terrific.
And you know, the whole Saturday Night Live, God, Lorraine, I mean, I could talk to you forever about this. I mean, you know, the costuming, the wigs, the sets, the changes that have to happen, the produced bits, the films, the video, the music. I mean, it is astounding the amount of material that's produced for that show each week. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, and if a sketch gets cut in dress rehearsal, you never see it again.
Right.
Which always broke my heart. But thank goodness Seth Meyers did Second Chance Theater on his show, where they performed the sketches that got cut.
Lorraine's autobiography is called May You Live in Interesting Times. It's on audible.com, and it really, it covers a lot of the things that you think it would cover. You know, we've got the lovers, we've got the drugs, we've got the parties, we've got the celebrities. And those are great, you know, those are great. I love those things. But when you say things in the book like, you know, the thing about Armis Brooks and Eve Arden and just some other sort of, you don't elaborate on it, but you, there's a couple of, you touch on a few things that really resonated with me. And I think if you don't mind,
I'm so glad.
I'm just going to throw out to you, if you don't mind, like, for instance, ready?
Yeah.
If I was lactating, my shirt would have been drenched.
That was my reaction to the gift, quote unquote, that my friends surprised me with on my 36th birthday, which was a dog, which was so audacious to give somebody a dog. But and really, the words coming out of my mouth were, oh, no, you didn't get me a dog. And then the nose of this dachshund puppy poked its way through the blanket that was in the basket, the wicker basket he was being carried in. And I said, you know, if I had been lactating, my shirt would have been drenched. He was that cute.
Were you a dog lover prior to that, or was this just...
Absolutely. I just didn't want the responsibility. But I love dogs.
I've titled this Prince Fart.
Oh, dear God. That's such a long story.
Oh, okay. Then don't
do it. Yeah, I mean, and it's already given us the punchline, although I think just the setup makes it clear what's about to happen. There's a lot of bodily function stuff.
Yes.
And I know it's not ladylike, but that stuff really makes me laugh.
Me too. Always has, always will.
Good.
We're going to do more.
You're my brother.
Thank you. More with Lorraine Newman when we come back on 720 WGN. This is the part where everybody comes out and the host says thank you and they're standing next to the musical guest. Oh, 720 WGN. I'm John Landecker. It's 847. And with us tonight, SNL original cast member and just great all-around showbiz pro, Lorraine Newman, who has an audio biography out on audible.com, which is fantastic, called May You Live in Interesting Times. And speaking of interesting times, your life prior to Saturday Night Live, I find to be unbelievable because it, you know, starting out with, just catch this for a second, Art Linkletter's Kids Say the Darndest Things. Marcel Marceau, and you can take it from there. I mean, because you were born in L.A., in the L.A. area, and Art Linkletter and Kids Say the Darndest Things. Do you remember how in the world you got on that?
I think that the nursery school teacher, that's what we called it in those days, John, was nursery school, not preschool. I think she recommended me because I was a loud mouth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, and, I'm not agreeing with that. I'm just saying, of course.
They choose kids who can articulate and represent themselves well.
Right. Right.
And they actually had wanted my twin brother as well, but he was sick. And my explanation to Art Linkletter as to why he couldn't come was from the reasoning of a four-year-old, which basically I said that my brother's eyes were about to fall out from watching television. And the audience laughed, and then he said, well, striking a mighty blow for television today. But, you know, I... such a little ham, you know, I had to answer every question he asked all the other kids, even if he didn't ask them of me. Oh, it was just memorable.
You were improvising from the get-go.
That's right.
Yeah. And there are some great stories in this audio book about other very famous people that you meet prior to their fame. But the...
Exactly.
Some of the... Can you tell... When I heard that you studied with Marcel Marceau, mm-hmm. I in France. How old were you? How old were you?
19. I was 19.
And how did
you...
Go ahead.
Through failure, let me tell you. When I was 16, I saw him at Royce Hall at UCLA, and I just was so fascinated by the art form, and I went backstage and asked him if there was somebody in LA who could teach me, and he recommended a guy, and not only did I learn mime, but I was also taught improv at 16. So by the time I got to Marceau's school, I'd had 4 years of mime technique. But I had also gotten to his school by way of failing my second audition for all of the acting schools in London. So it was my next stop. It was like my consolation prize, which, you know, I think the thing that I realized about the book while I was writing it was everything led to something better. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter what seemed like... you know, a hardship at the time or loss of any kind, as long as I pursued the things that I was interested in, everything led to this eventuality of, you know, being at the ground floor of the Groundlings and being at the ground floor of SNL and being at the ground floor of the animation boom, which is going on right now and has been for quite some time. You know, I just followed my nose, so to speak.
You are in, speaking of the animation boom, what are some of the credits? You've got like Finding Nemo and Monster Inc. and Despicable Me and Shrek. I mean, that's quite a list.
Yeah, it's a very small kind of rarefied group of actors. So we all get to do, you know, we all work together quite frequently. And if we're lucky, we do a show where we're all together. Rather than being in the booth by yourself. But it's the series television that are really the fun ones. But of course, I can't list them because I would have to look on IMDb to remember them.
I know. I've had that experience with other people in the world of acting and show business, including members of my own family who are in L.A. Hey, what's that thing? How about this movie? What are you talking about? I saw it on IMDb. I don't remember that. I mean, seriously, I get it. Could you, one of the charming, I thought, just delightful, if I can use that word, stories, comes from that time in France with Marcel Marceau and the Ike and Tina Turner review, I believe it is.
Oh, God, yes.
Comes to town, and then what did you do to get into that concert?
My roommate and I made fake press passes. We made like an official looking stamp by carving a pattern into a potato and dipping that into ink and stamping it on paper and then laminating it. And then we posed as the Quebecois press. And so we spoke French with Quebecois accents and we weaseled our way in. We could not believe it. We thought we were just going backstage, but it turned out to be the before party, the party before the show. And that's why I got such great seats. I met Buddy Miles and I talked to him and I told him how much I loved his music and he gave us his house seats. So we were in, you know, like fifth row center. And but it was very exciting. And I remember seeing Tina Turner years after that when I was doing SNL and I saw her at an airport. And I mentioned that I had seen that show, and she was very unenthusiastic about it. And at the time, I thought, gee, I wonder why she's so, like, not interested, you know? And now I know why.
Yeah. But I just thought it was really ingenuity combined with gumption, combined with no fear. We're going to make fake passes. We're going to do it by carving them out of potatoes. And
you know,
that is so
mother of invention.
Exactly. And then you end up in the house seats that Buddy Miles gives you. I mean, this is the thing about your story is I mean, I know that there's plenty of problems. All of us have our ups and downs during, you know, our lives. But starting really, Lorraine, with Art Linkletter's Kids Say the Darndest Things, up until this very moment, your life certainly has had its trials and tribulations, but this really demonstrates your consistency within the bounds of show business. I mean, really, it's an amazing chronological list of achievements.
Thank you. Well, that's why I called it May You Live in Interesting Times, because before I wrote the book, I was noticing all these things happening, you know, like Jim Morrison dying and realizing that I had been in that bathtub 2 days before because he rented that apartment from my friend's sister. And, you know, all these things that kind of I was there or I knew that person before, as you said, before they gained success. So it was organic in its proximity to my life. It wasn't like I found myself like at some party or something like that. Although I think I have in the book about going to a really A-list party and seeing Clint Eastwood say to Bette Midler, because I mean you couldn't believe the people that were walking around, you know, Coppola and you know De Niro, and Clint Eastwood turns to Bette Midler and says, "God, there sure are a lot of stars here." You know? Nobody has any perspective on themselves. We're all kind of, you know.
That's right. We're all impressionable by somebody.
Just appreciate each other.
Yeah. Lorraine, I'm sorry to say that we are out of time, but I just want to emphasize again that this Lorraine Newman's audio biography, May You Live in Interesting Times from Audible.com is really a great listen. I guess that's the word you'd use. Thanks very much for being with us, Lorraine.
Thank you, John. It was a pleasure.